Benjamin Franklin told a story that was published in the mid to late 1700s in Poor Richard's Almanac. Franklin tells about a friend of his who came to his next-door neighbor, who was a blacksmith, to purchase an axe. And he chose one, and then came to the smith and said, "This is the axe that I would like. But see how beautiful and bright it is on the sharp edge of the axe. What I'd like to know is it possible to get that bright and beautiful shine on the face of the axe, on both sides?" Well, the smith looked at him and then with a smile said, "Well, I'll be happy to grind it and get it bright and beautiful for you if you will turn the grinding stone." The man said, "Well, of course, I'd be happy to do that." And so he sat down and he began to pedal, and the grinding stone began to move. And as the stone turned, the smith took the axe and he pressed it against that grinding stone. And after about a half an hour of this, the man was really sweating, and he finally stopped and said, "I'd like to look at that. I'm sure it must be bright by now." The smith took a look at it and said, "No, it's just a speckled axe. You better keep turning." The man didn't think he had any choice, and he turned the wheel with his feet, and within 10 minutes he was exhausted again. He said, "Well, let's look at the axe now and see if it isn't bright and beautiful." And the smith took it and said, no, see, it's just a speckled axe. It's not bright at all. It's just a speckled axe. You'd better keep turning the wheel." And again the man turned and began to press the face of the axe against the grinding stone. And finally, after about 5 more minutes, out of breath, he said, "I'm sure the axe is wonderful now." And the smith said, "No, it's just a speckled axe." And the man said, "I know, but I'm learning that I prefer a speckled axe." Friends, you see, there are times in our lives when life itself seems a little bit like a speckled axe, when it takes all the energy we can muster to keep on going. It's very tempting in those times to accept a speckled axe as a normal state of affairs. For example, there may be times when you've worked very hard at your job not to have a bright future emerge, but at best to have a speckled one. I think of one man who for years, the past 7 or 8 years in fact, has been working to create a dream in his business. And now after this pandemic today, in the last few months, it has vanished. He's no closer to that dream in reality than he was a couple years ago. There are times in our work when we work hard and all we get is a speckled axe. There are times, perhaps, in your personal relationships when you've worked hard to make them bright and new, and all you got from that was a speckled axe. I think about someone who came into my office who was longing for the support and intimacy of a close friendship. But is so caught up in the fast-paced rush of life that there's no time. There's a parade of parents that work hard to reach out to their children, but with all the effort and with all the time, and all we end up with is a speckled axe in our relationships. There are times when life itself is like a speckled axe. And when there are times like that in your life and mine, we are faced with the life-stealing temptation to give up and give in. We think to ourselves, why work so hard at it? Nothing's changing. We think to ourselves, maybe this is all I can expect. Maybe it never will be any different than this. And in the face of those questions, the questions of faith begin to emerge, don't they? We wonder where God is. We wonder where the courage of faith is. Questions are real and honest because when we work hard and nothing changes, nothing happens, we want God to come and make it okay. We want change to occur. We want the courage of faith to come and not to help us through it, but to get us out of it. We want things made right. But you know, friends, the courage of faith is rarely needed when things are just fine. The presence of God is rarely sought when everything is going well. The courage of faith, the presence of God, is the calling to return to the grinding wheel, to keep on grinding. It's the courage to return to life and there to believe that there can be something more than this. Perhaps you've heard that definition of a hero these days. I heard it just the other day that a hero is someone whose courage has lasted 2 minutes longer than the rest of us. Sometimes the courage of faith is the heaven-sent gift of just 2 minutes longer of perseverance to keep going. The gift of those 2 minutes of faith, of courage, of the presence of God comes when we dare to believe that no matter how difficult the present is, God is working with us to make this world a better place. There's a story that's told about a physician with a friend, a man he'd treated as a patient for years. They'd done a number of things socially together and enjoyed one another's company. And now this friend of his patient was dying. After his rounds at the hospital, he went home and needing a break, he took his dog and he put him in the car and he went for a drive in the country. Toward the end of the drive, he just happened to drive by the home of his friend and patient. He stopped the car and got the dog out and he went up to the front door and knocked. And he was greeted by the man's wife and welcomed in. "Can I bring my dog in and just leave him here in the living room? I'd just like to see John." And she said, "Oh, I know John would love to see you, and that's fine. I'll watch the dog. I'm sure he'll be fine." Well, the physician made his way up the stairs and he knocked on the door, and there was a welcome greeting of "come on in." He stepped in and his friend was glad to see him. He sat on the bed with him and they began to talk. They talked about a number of things, and finally John turned to his physician and he said, "You know, I'm getting kind of frightened, Doc." "You're getting frightened," he said. "Yeah, I don't know what death is like. I don't know what it's like to be on the other side, Doc. You've seen lots of people through this process. What's it like on the other side?" Well, the physician's mind went blank. He didn't know what to say. He didn't know how to share or communicate a confidence of his faith. And in silence, they heard this scratching on the bedroom door. His dog had wandered up the steps and found where he was and was scratching on the door to be let in. And then it occurred to the physician. And he said, "John, just like my dog, you're on this side. You don't know what's on the other side of the closed door we call death. My dog doesn't know what's on the other side of this door. He's never been in this bedroom before, but he knows his master is here. And because
His master is here. No matter what he finds, it will be okay. John, on the other side of that door, your master waits for you. And whatever is there, it will be good. The Apostle Paul knew that in the darkness of death, in the darkness of an unknown future, the Master, Jesus Christ, would be waiting. That's why he could write the lesson that Barry read to you before. You see, when Paul wrote this letter, life for him was like a speckled egg. He'd been working very hard. The brightness of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the brightness of the glory of the church in those congregations that he had literally given birth to was dim. When you read the New Testament letters of Paul, it's very clear that the churches that he started were having trouble. People didn't understand the good news of Jesus Christ. Also, when he writes these letters, Paul is in chains. He's being taken a prisoner of Rome to Rome itself, and they're very likely being put to death. Surely Paul wondered where God was. Surely Paul had those times when he wondered where the courage of faith was that had sustained him earlier in his ministry. In fact, in the second letter to the Corinthian church, we read where Paul says, "I was utterly, unbearably crushed, despaired of life itself." Looking into the future, Paul could only see darkness. But where our eyes cannot see, there the Master waits. The future is dark because we can't penetrate it. Even in death, a closed door, we know there waits the Master, and where the Master waits, it will be good. And it will be healing. And it will be a gift of life all over again. Through the eyes of faith, we can see God's presence in our troubled world. It's not simply a time of speckled axes, but a time of revealing new possibilities. A time of revealing the brightness of the kingdom of God. Because the brightness is there between the speckles. If we only have the eyes to see. The seed of God's future is here. If we can but comprehend it. You see, even in the midst of our suffering, every now and then, the presence of God comes. And we're lifted above it. And the joy and the peace and the strength of God is our confidence. And we have the courage to go on. It's the eyes of faith that help us see beyond the present stress and disillusionment into the future of God. To see beyond our troubles into the great possibilities that we are becoming. Look inside yourself and see what possibilities God has planted within you. I leave you with these words of Paul. "I consider the suffering of this present time not worth comparing with the glory yet to be revealed to us." We are those who know the good news of Jesus Christ. We are those who know that in the darkness the Master waits. And where the Master waits, it will be good. And there will be light. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And it's news worth sharing. Shall we pray? Eternal God, Heavenly Father, we come to you in prayer filled with worry and sorrow. Our world, our nation, and our communities have been struck by this terrible disease. And we look to you for strength and hope.
Remind us, Lord, that you are in our world. Remind us that you are not indifferent to our pain. We pray for all those who have been struck by this disease, for the families who mourn the death of their loved ones. We pray for a world that is weeping. May we never take lightly the courage and the dedication of the men and women who are fighting this terrible pandemic. Sustain us, dear God, with hope and encouragement that we may continue to share your message of love with all the world. We thank you for that love that binds us to each other and to you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.